Now, I don't think I did this. We did the top three things of marriage, right? I didn't do the top 10, did I?
Good.
Because that's what I wanted to do tonight. I didn't think I did. And I read over it, but I had studied up so that if we were short on time, I could do that. And am I on? Did I turn it on? Okay. So as a result of our relationship classes, I had asked you to write some responses on some cards. And there were three things that really showed up, and we took care of those and talked about those. But some other things, too, that affect relationships, especially marriages. We'll go through some of the verses. Our text verse that we've been using for this set of lessons is 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we can have restored relationships. That is the point of these lessons, that relationships don't have to be bad. God intended through Jesus Christ that all relationships be restored. The verse I'd like to use tonight is 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. What that means is, it's really easy that if somebody does something to you that you would like to get even. You're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, you would like to go cut them off. And evil for evil. But the Word of God says, but ever follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Especially in relationships that we have ongoing. If we do evil for evil, what we're going to do is keep score, and we're only going to be rendering evil for evil. You know, somebody does something bad for us to us, we're going to make sure that we take care of that. And one thing that love does, it overlooks sin. And so we need to be careful that we not do that in a relationship. Rendering evil for evil, equal meanness for equal meanness, and then we always ratchet that up too, it seems like. The questions that were on the questionnaire is, what do you fight about? Is there a topic that causes recurring arguments in a relationship? What question or subject would you like answered or addressed during this series of lessons? And the one thing that kept coming up was the top three. But one thing I wanted to do is that there are many things in relationships that tend to come up over and over again. The main ones were the first three. We've covered those. Money, okay? How to kind of deal with those, covered those 2 weeks before we left. And then the other two was intimacy and in-laws. On the cards, these three were also evident in your responses. But there were other things that were alluded to, just not as often. And I'd like for us to go through and talk about some other issues that can be problems in relationships, especially in marriage. Before we go on, does anybody have any questions or comments on the three things that we've already looked at? One of the things about money, Brother Hunter, I think, is going to talk about some lessons that we can do at some point in the future. We're going to address that some more. Unrealistic expectations. One of the difficulties that happens in any kind of relationship is unrealistic expectations. This can happen in marriage, but it can happen in friendships too, that we have expectations of the other person that are unrealistic. We want the other person to be something that is always nice, never has any bad times, and those kinds of things. Unrealistic expectations can really be a problem in marriages. Expecting some kind of storybook ending where it says, you know, happily ever after. It doesn't quite work that way. There can be happiness in relationships, but life, day-to-day life, does happen. And so unrealistic expectations, at some point, you know, we have to understand that in our expectations that life happens, and we have to be real about that. Any questions, comments? One of the things that can also cause problems is career, whether it be success or whether it be failure. It's hard to deal with our own insecurities, and that can be whether it be a success or a failure. You know, to fail, we feel like that we aren't doing our part. This is especially true for guys. Women too, but especially for guys, because they also have the expectation, realistic or not, that in dealing with the failure side, with a lost job, you know, how am I going to support my family? There is a biblical verse that, you know, a man who will not support his family is worse than an infidel. And we take those things and we heap that upon us. But also success in a career can also be a problem. One, the time that it takes to be a success. Two, it's easy that with success comes adulation, comes, you know, a feeling that we may be superior to somebody else, and that can be a problem in a relationship. And we have to be really careful with whether it be a success or failure, that we understand who we are in the relationship. Comments?
The men become, they comfort their spouse in marriage, and they pursue, and then once they get married, then that's done for a lot of men, and then they move on to the next thing, which is often their job, and that becomes their focus, and so that's where they're out to succeed. And while that's important, often we find that women in families, the children and the wife, who would much rather have your time than the money. And you think, the men think that they are providing for their family, that's the most important thing that they can do, and therefore work is it, but it's often they'd rather have your time and your presence than they would the extra money that you're bringing home, and it could cause conflict. And it works the other way too. I've seen it work for the women have been so driven with their jobs and so involved that their relationships suffer.
The other thing that can happen is the expectations that we put upon ourselves. I've seen households that the wife have maybe a college education or something, and for whatever reason, her career, she makes more than the husband. And, you know, that can bruise our ego, you know, as a guy. And there's no right or wrong there in dealing with the wife that works or whatever. And the issue is, you know, how do we deal with that? And, you know, we have to be very, very careful with those things and what God would have for us. So, but that career, you know, we need to be able to provide for our families. But in providing for our families, we want to make sure that we're not taking ourselves out of the way. And I agree, you know, one of the things that I'd come across some time back is that what would you want written on your tombstone? You know, oftentimes we talk about wanting a better career and more money or whatever, and those are the things we seem to spend our time on. But yet, what we put on our tombstone is, was a good family man, or those, it's the relationships. It's not the money that is important long term. We need money to survive, but how much do we need to survive? And I think that to have a healthy understanding of that is very, very important. Any other thoughts?
Hurt people as they come to the end of their life, there's often regrets and the lack of effort they put into the relationships. But you don't hurt people regretting that they hadn't worked harder, done more, earned more money. That's not the things that in the end tend to truly matter. It's those relationships. They wish to be a better father. They wish to have taken time to be a better mother, or to be a better child or parent or whatever.
Chuck, on that, I've heard a lot of women complain because their husband's working. I've never heard one of them complain about the money they get to spend.
Yeah, we need that too. So, and I think that that can be a problem for both. Work too much, and there is a point in which we can work too much, but you're absolutely right. We do need that opportunity to be able to provide, absolutely. Thoughts?
I think there's also been times when I've seen that the expectation of a wife has created an extreme burden on the husband, because their expectation of what he is to provide goes beyond realistic expectations.
Right. Yeah, and, we get into the means by which you are going to give me
meet this unrealistic expectation, the big house, the big car, or whatever. And one of the things that a lot of these have to deal with is, if we can understand biblical commitment, it would take care of some of these things. That which I have to be what was the word I just used? Not commitment. Contentment, thank you. I said, as I started thinking, content, biblical contentment, to be content with what we have would take care of some of these things.
When we see marriages that are having issues in this area, often it's a matter of the lack of communication, and it's the difference of the people bring in their personalities and their genders. Well, one thinks they're trying hard to do, the other one thinks that's not what the other person wants. Often it's a matter of they're striving, they're putting a lot of effort into working, providing, giving, and where it's truly something they never sit down and discuss that isn't what I want, or that is what I want. How do we go about doing this? There's just a lack of communication, that people are trying very hard. They're trying in areas that aren't where the effort needs to be put.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts?
In some households where couples are trying to keep a parent at home to raise the children, and they find that the wife is willing to make more money in her career, and so the man stays home to raise the children, and the woman works, and they agree upon that. And I've seen some situations where in the church, the man is criticized for that, because biblically, in the church's understanding, that he needs to be the provider, the woman needs to manage the home and raise the children. What is your feeling about that? And how would you encourage somebody who has made that decision, or discourage, or what?
Put me on the spot. One of my answers would be this: every case is unique, every case is different. The Bible doesn't talk against women working. Sometimes we, in order to fulfill that biblical role, we want to say, well, the wife has to stay home. Obviously, children need parents, and I think children need some kind of parenting at home on a constant, continual basis. One of the things, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman worked. I mean, so let's be realistic about that. We have to balance our family financial needs versus our family needs spiritually and emotionally and with discipline. I think that there's also some built-in things about who we are, I think those can be dealt with. Men need to feel like they're providing for their family. I think that can be achieved through the very thing that you're discussing. You know, I can provide for my family through a means by which I can take care of the children and you know, whether that be taking care of some of the daily things so that my wife can also work. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I could see some pitfalls. I mean, I have talked to couples where that was the case, and one of the issues is, you know, it goes back to understanding your role and being okay with that by which you're able to provide for the family. What does anybody else think? Well, one of the things, too, is in dealing with being at home, one of the things that I've seen is that women have, I think, a natural need to be a mother. And I think men have a natural need to be the provider. That doesn't mean that what is best for the family, that we can't deal with that differently. I know in our household, Joyce was a much better mom than I was a mom. You know, there was things that I could provide for our family, I could provide for the children, but, you know, that doesn't mean that that is wrong for a family. I think each case would be different. I definitely wouldn't ridicule a family to come to that choice.
Going to cause issues in the marriage that are going to have to be dealt with. Because what do we do? Being is their home, being in their home, taking care of the children, it is innate, I believe, also. And women do want that, and to have the husband in the home taking care of those things. I know there are women who could do that, and it doesn't seem to matter as much to them, but I think as a rule, that's where they are the happiest. That's how God's given most women to do it, and men get so much of themselves from what they do that it is going, I'm going to see it cause issues that are going to be in that situation. Kind of work people have done it, is it the optimum? Probably not, but
what do you think?
I didn't really have anything, that's why I asked. I've just seen examples where, and usually what I've observed is that the man in particular is made to feel like he's lazy, even though he's working very hard with the children at home, it's because he's not outworking, he's viewed as being lazy.
Well, and I think we can sometimes make moms who choose to make that a priority that they are second-class citizens. And what is more important than our children? And I think that can go either way. And I think to be supportive of that family unit in whatever way is, I think, very, very important. Yes?
I think from God's perspective or God's desire, it would be that we would not be in that situation. However, as Sister Joyce pointed out, and there's circumstances that sometimes necessitate that, I think the first question, and I wouldn't have a problem in terms of the church member. But I do think that there is wisdom in that couple asking themselves, what is it we're truly trying to accomplish, or what are we solving?
Absolutely.
If it's I can make more money than you, that in of itself is not what I would necessarily say is the right objective. It's the way to provide, because it's the best of all the alternatives that are there, given the foundation that we're trying to raise our family from a biblical standpoint. And that's a question. And is that a long-term goal? Is that something that your goal is to perpetuate that for our entire lives?
Right.
That's a different question, too.
And absolutely. Is this short-term? Is this just to get us through a certain circumstance? And I think you make an excellent point that if it's an issue of just, well, I can make more money, maybe we need to learn, you know, it is that being content again. Maybe we need to be content with less and would be happier in the long run. Excellent point. Any other thoughts? Yes?
But you did say that most women are very suppose we have this woman that's not the least bit maternal. Maybe the children would be better off with this father that maybe is more maternal acting than their mother was.
And that's one thing that I kind of wanted to make sure that, whereas I think that roles are defined, and I think they're kind of innate, too. I think that our society can drive us to those roles, too. But I do think that they're kind of innate. But everybody's not the same. And there may be a circumstance that where that might work better for a family. And I could, you know, I think we've all agreed, I didn't hear anybody objecting, that that wouldn't necessarily be wrong. You know, those are things that a family would have to be able to decide. So, absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons where that it's not just as simple as money. That's just the way it has to be.
Actually, Greg and I had friends that she worked and he stayed home, and for them it was perfect because for her to stay home, she went stir crazy. I mean, the walls closed in, and he wanted to be home
right. Watching
their child. So for them, it worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, and each couple is different. I can't say that your marriage has to look like this. You know, we could do the same thing, two people working in a home. Is that you know, good or bad? I can tell you that once our kids were grown, Joyce working wasn't a bad thing. From the standpoint, it kind of helped to fill some time. It'd be nice to have some of that time back now, right? But, you know, it's not... There are things in which it can be good and bad. So we can look at that. Brother Jim?
We discussed it with the husband's older, the wife's older. But I think the main point is here, as far as Christians go, is who is given the responsibility? Who's the head of the house? Whether the man is working or not, he has that responsibility. And so when the world gets involved, as they put pressure, you know, the man or woman, whoever's making money, well, you're the one making the money, you get to make the choices. But if you're head of the house, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're a couple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point.
A level of responsibility is sometimes harder to wield because they take on a more masculine leading role in a great deal of their life.
Right. And then
so
to come home and and I think that can be, even if the husband's working, you know, to be in a role to where you're making the decisions and you come home and try to...
Yeah, you know, like, I guess I've heard it, and I'm not saying that things got the military, but you've heard sometimes they do the soldier thing at home and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's that same kind of principle that you have to be able to switch roles out of
it. Yeah.
But I find it interesting working in the workforce and even at all levels, you look at the support staff, you look at our attorneys, you look at our CEO who is a woman, and all the levels, it is different for the men that are working, for the women that are working, if they have children, the moms feel torn. You don't see it in the men occasionally, and you see more of the younger men feeling the responsibility to be at home and at work. It's becoming more that way. But the men in our age category, I don't care what their level of expertise is, you don't see them feeling torn between the sick child at home, but you see those attorneys, you see those officers, you see those women, the ones that are women, they are still the ones that feel torn between the responsibilities that are going on at home and the responsibilities at work.
And probably because that's their responsibility, that hasn't been relinquished.
Yeah.
And not necessarily good or bad, mm-hmm. So. Yes?
There is also, as men, we're accustomed to not showing our
and I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. It's that can, it doesn't look like there's issues, but that doesn't mean that we're not feeling those. Absolutely. Did I see a hand? Someone else?
The other one had mentioned too was the fact that he'd seen people criticizing, and it goes back to what we kind of discussed. it's not for us to judge. We don't know the circumstances of what's going on. Maybe support as we can and help as we can, but if it works for them, maybe we'll have to speak on that topic.
And I think that that is so true. Brother Kevin brought a great devotional for the men's meeting this morning, and that, you know, the role of the church is to edify and to build up. And sometimes we think we're helping when we criticize, when if we can't give options, we need to just leave it alone. And, you know, sometimes the best thing we can do is to help that family. You know, and if there's circumstances there, maybe a church does need to come to the aid of a family with babysitting or, you know, monetary help or whatever that is. And there are families from time to time who that really need the edification of the church. Absolutely. Any yes?
Someone made a comment that, you know, they live in a man who is staying at home, they're just lazy. But those are the people that probably never tried to be at home and rent a household.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts? Selfishness. We talked a little bit about some things that will kill a relationship that you just cannot overcome. Selfishness is one of those things. You know, you can overcome career successes and failure. If your relationship has a person that's selfish, the relationship can't overcome that. If it's all about you, then you are centered on you, and you want everybody else centered on you. And there's never a point in the relationship where the other person is the focus. And I have never seen where somebody is really, truly selfish and the relationship work. That has to be addressed. Huh?
Or worked well.
Or worked well, or very long. You know, it's going to come to an end. You just can't do that. It's not all about you. Yes? Well, I have seen individuals that have had relationships like this for, you know, 20 years. But the problem is that it's not a working relationship, and everybody's trying to cater to, you know, to the needs of the one person, and nobody's ever happy, and the one that's selfish is never happy because it's never enough. The level of what I want, you know, when you do something nice for me, yeah, that's great, but what are you going to do in the next 10 minutes? It's always more, more, more. And so the spouse and the children never get their needs met. And it's very devastating. You know, again, contentment takes care of that. You know, there's that biblical principle of contentment that can resolve a lot of these issues. And it is a very big problem. There's two kinds of people, givers and takers. And if you have two takers in a relationship, or even a giver and a taker, if there are times in which when we have needs that need to be met, biblical, you know, that are okay, that's not selfishness. To come to your partner, your spouse, and say, I have these needs that need to be met, that's realistic. That's biblical. But if it's just all about me and true selfishness, that will destroy a relationship. It may not be in the first week. It may not be in the first year. But a relationship can't be healthy with somebody who's all about themselves. Comments?
Bad relationships for a very long time, and it can be very unhealthy relationships, and it does damage to everyone that's involved in those relationships. But people live in some extremely bad circumstances for a very long time, and maybe that's what they become used to. And but it's not a healthy relationship, and it's not edifying, it's not good for anyone. But
and
people do stay in those relationships a long time.
We think that if we get everything we want from a selfish standpoint, that will make me happy. But taking all the time isn't really the center of happiness. Giving, being a giver, is a lot more satisfying. Brother Jim.
You mentioned marriage and a couple of things. Can a couple live this way, one being selfish, unmarried, hoping to get married, but in this relationship you've been in?
Are you talking about in dealing with?
One person is selfish, one to give up one's self. I mean, I don't know if you've had enough experience with those type of people.
Well, I guess the only way I really know how to answer that is that I've seen, you know, selfish, and there's different levels of selfishness also. But somebody who is really selfish and self-centered, and, you know, it just doesn't, if the relationship works in any fashion, it's because the other person in the relationship has just said, okay, what, you know, I will relinquish getting anything out of this relationship and just try to take care of your needs. And that's not going to make for a healthy relationship long term, in any fashion. So I don't know if I really answered your question. It's not going to work long term. And if it does somehow last long term, it's in no way going to be healthy or happy. Brother Hunter?
Often, it's not uncommon, but sometimes that's also the definition of an abusive relationship. The person becomes who is the giver all the time.
Right.
That they become almost a codependent. Though it's very unhealthy.
We enable somebody else.
They think that that's the norm too, and that's a different type of unhealthiness than some inside it. In addition to a person who's just unhappy, they think they're alone. They think that's just what it is.
Right. That becomes normal, yeah. And normal then becomes unfulfilled, unhappy. Yeah, absolutely.
Longevity does not mean it is a good, healthy, edifying relationship. Just because it lasts a long time doesn't mean that it is a good thing.
Right. I know a lot of people who's been in unhealthy relationships for a really long time and have chosen not to deal with that. Longevity doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. Thoughts?
Sure, as a pastor, it's difficult to find that line because God doesn't want us to be in abusive relationships, but He also wants us to really work at relationships too. And finding that threading that needle, I'm sure, will be difficult.
Yeah, there is the safety issue versus working out, and I think the Bible deals with those things. And you know, go ahead.
Christ-like, we are to be servants one to another, and so this can be a situation where, you know, it can almost be abusive, and they go in with the idea of being a servant one to another in a humble way, but again, you know, that's, they're taking advantage of it.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. The problem with selfishness is it's never satisfied. That's the downside in a relationship. Always wanting more, never satisfied.
And I think when it comes to dealing with marriages, and I think I've heard you say it to people, and I've seen it work out in people that you've been dealing with, is that there are very rare, it's very rare, the two safe people that are willing to submit to the Lord can't make a marriage work and have a happy marriage. And that it takes two people to make a good, healthy marriage, and that usually those lines aren't that hard to identify as to when this is intolerable, this is something that is, the line has to be drawn, that this marriage is so unhealthy that you need to separate in order to sometimes make it better, but sometimes it's not, and if it does, it takes two
surrendered people in line to, but two surrendered people can work through if they're going to just about anything.
Yeah. I've seen incredible odds overcome when two people are committed to them, to each other and to the Lord. Absolutely. Yes?
Well, you mentioned selfishness also. Self-centered, just being selfish is self-centered.
Right.
Would that be controlling also?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things about this and why it doesn't work is that self-centeredness or being selfish is all about getting my needs met. And really, in a relationship, it's not my responsibility to meet my needs, to see that they get met. It's my responsibility in the relationship to see that my spouse's needs are met. And then it's their responsibility to see that my needs are met. And that's the trust issue. And so I shouldn't be so focused on whether my needs are being met. If I focused on my spouse's needs, then that would take the eyes off of me and get rid of the selfishness. Does that make sense? I think that's one of the things, is that we think that we are to judge whether or not our needs are to be met. It's not my job to do that. My job in the relationship isn't to say, now do A, B, and C. It's my job is to fulfill my wife's needs and vice versa. Any other comments? Yes?
Is it necessarily my needs for a selfish person? Just my wants?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's never enough. Absolutely.
It is realistic to expect our needs to be met in marriage. That is what God has intended.
Yes.
And He has given us those relationships to have needs met. But it is how we go about that. And it is His responsibility. If it's about me getting, it's not going to be a good relationship either. It's about us mutually. Sometimes it's about me, sometimes it's about you, sometimes you're giving, sometimes you're taking. You have to be able to do both in a relationship. In a good marriage, you have to be able to do both.
And I think Chuck makes a good point. There's a difference between a want and a need. Lots of times we address it as a need when it's really just something that we want. And there are things that in relationships that we do need met. Any other thoughts? Space invaders.
Is that our bubble issue?
Yeah. Well, I this list, I just used their phrase. There's different. One of the things in dealing with somebody who is super jealous, or, you know, somebody who has a poor self-concept and gets their self-concept from somebody else and gets their identity from the other person. In a healthy relationship, there needs to be some room. And, you know, we need to be kind of careful with, we are still individuals. We are a unit. When we get married, God sees us as one. But there is a uniqueness there, and there's just that can be an issue when there is no separate identity. Oftentimes, the problem comes just the opposite. The two people can live two separate lives. But there is the problem also with not having an identity with yourself separate of your mate, and that's not necessarily healthy either. Any thoughts? Okay, selfishness?
Or? Selfishness and greed, isn't that the same thing?
Selfishness and greed? I think they, if they're not exactly the same thing, they at least come from the same place. So, yeah. Any other thoughts? Go ahead.
But more along what, as Wendy was saying too, about goals. I mean, that yes, it's who you are, but it's also issues in
how people deal with themselves, with their space, with their stuff, with their, and there's issues in marriage over those kinds of things, over how things are done and how you maintain it. And if you were an affectionate person, if you're not affectionate, I mean, even just our physical space, we don't know our persons and our bodies. And we've seen those create lots of issues in marriages too, those kinds of issues.
Having a respect for who that person is,
yeah,
how they're different. Overcommitment, physical exhaustion. You know, it's easy to do, whether money or career or, you know, somebody who tries to work and tries to go to school at the same time. Overcommitment. One of the things that I have shared with different people in different settings is that we as children of God, we feel like that we are to be generous and to help others. And we can commit to things that can be detrimental to our relationship with our spouse or our family. And one of the things that I think is really important is that those who are givers, it's okay to say no. You have to set priorities. And sometimes it's real easy for demands on your time to come in, and we are putting out the fires. We're taking care of what is appears to be the need at the moment, and we lose track of what is our top priority. And sometimes the right answer is to say that I can't make that commitment. Now, that often many of us don't commit enough to things, but there is a real issue for overcommitment, and especially other people taking up our time and taking away from things that are our top priority in dealing with our family and those kinds of things.
Go ahead. This is an issue that you see often dealing with pastors in particular and their families, and how that it is hard when God is the job and dealing with God's people is the job, and drawing those boundaries, how does that to say no to those, to save time and yourself and family. You see that in marriages and pastors a lot, and it can cause real issues too, and that's an area that churches can help their pastors by providing that there are limits, that there's times off, that yes, your own family is important too, and we've seen lots of issues in those areas too, but it's not just the pastors, that people can be overcommitted doing good things.
It can be good things that can cause you to be overcommitted. Mm-hmm. Having balance in your life is very, very important. Any other thoughts? Alcohol and substance abuse. Marriage issues. When we try to get contentment, happiness somewhere else, alcohol, substance, and there's all kinds of substance, you know, abuse. Children of God often don't tend to get hooked on LSD, but I have seen children of God get hooked on prescription drugs. You know, so there's all kinds of issues there that we can get entangled in things that can be detrimental to our relationship. And so we need to be careful with those things. Any other comments? And then the last one, addictions. And I know that alcohol and substance abuse is addictions, but these other things fall into a little bit different category, things that are sinful that we as children of God just, you know, shouldn't be involved in, that can take us away from our families. And pornography, gambling is just two I listed, but there's all kinds of things that we can be addicted to. We can get obsessed with just about anything. And these things are detrimental to marriages. And there's some good information out there on these issues. Yes?
Unrealistic expectations are you have those and you're working, sometimes you're not controlling them. There's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure that you feel. And I've seen that unrealistic expectation equalize alcohol. So they're not the pressure, they're trying to release this pressure now. They're coming off the heart, which only adds to the problem.
And I think it can be said of alcohol, substance, pornography, gambling. These are areas in which we can hide, you know, try to get some kind of satisfaction from these, whether unrealistic or even realistic expectations. It's a mean of escape and very detrimental.
Well, that's why I was just thinking of that term, escape. There are many things that don't have to be those things. Like if you're trying to because of growing up with an alcohol situation, said, you know, and the one spouse did the alcohol, and the other spouse just flipped on the TV and didn't talk to the family for the night. So in his marriage, we're going to do that. So instead, he read books to the exclusion of the family. You know, so you just have to be mindful of our ways of escape.
Yeah.
And if your spouse says, "Hey," pay attention because.
Yeah, we can go, anything can be to the excess and, you know, can be addictive and be so involved in it that it's to our detriment. Absolutely. It can be things that aren't even sinful. Absolutely.
But it is becoming more and more of an issue, the alcohol and such as this, especially these other addictions, the things that we bring to our home and with the internet being at home, it has become this rampant, even Christian homes, the pornography issue and the fact that it is so infiltrated. The children have access to it, the men have access to it, and it is an overwhelming issue. It is becoming, it's a startling, shocking issue that is becoming rampant, even in Christian homes, that it's an issue, and we bring these things into our home, and if we don't control them, they can be such bring devastation to families. And the information age, yes, it's wonderful, but it is also horrible at times. And
well, it's made available those things that before, pornography or gambling, you know, gambling, you'd have to go to Vegas to gamble or some kind, you know, get some kind of group to, but now you can go down to your local store and play the lottery, you know, that you'd be amazed at how many people that's a problem for. And, you know, now you can even gamble online, you know, and pornography obviously is a big internet issue. And you're absolutely right. We bring it into our home, and the convenience of that, there is a big downside. We have to be very, very careful of that. Other thoughts? So in dealing with relationships and dealing with marriages, it's not just the top three, but there are other issues, and we could probably list another 10. You know, there are so many things that can be problems, but the issue is that God has never intended for us to have unhealthy relationships, that Christ is the solution, and that two people committed to Christ can overcome these things. Through Christ, they can be overcome. Any thoughts? Let's all stand.